I'm Ishita Kabra, and I'm the founder and CEO of Buyrotation, the social fashion rental app. I created the platform to empower the average consumer so they can transform their fashion consumption habits for good. You can save money, make money, dress well, make new friends, and save the planet at the same time. This is our brand podcast, On Rotation, where I'm joined by inspiring members of our community. I'm so proud to say that this podcast is brought to you by NatWest Business Banking. Whether you're thinking about starting a new business or are already running one, NatWest could help you meet your goals sooner, no matter how big or small. I know how tough it is running a business, and we are so grateful to all the other businesses and partners for their support. NatWest is here to support your business with many tools and tips. So, if you've got a big idea that you want to turn into reality, what are you waiting for? Search NatWest Startups to get started. With NatWest, tomorrow begins today. Business banking is available to eligible customers in the UK. Specific account eligibility applies. Today, I'm joined by Chrissy Rutherford, New York City's favorite fashion it girl, influencer, and brand consultant. After more than a decade working in editorial fashion, including Cosmopolitan magazine, InStyle.com, and most notably as special projects director at Harper's Bazaar, Chrissy left to pursue her own projects. Chrissy now splits her time between London and New York, where I met her, and has worked with brands such as J.Crew, Environmental Defense Fund, Gucci, and Caudalie. Chrissy, welcome to On Rotation.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So, Chrissy, yes. First things first, and I love to ask all the guests on the show, what's currently on your rotation?
Love is Blind on Netflix.
I think I watched the first series of that show during COVID.
I just started watching season 4 last night, and
there's 4 seasons now?
Yes. I know. I was actually really surprised. The 4th season just dropped, and I feel like the 3rd one just came out like maybe 6 months ago.
They're really like,
they're cranking them out.
Wait, so people, it's still American? Love.
Yes.
It's still American.
Yes. There's a lot of people to find love.
Wait, do they still have the pods?
Yes. It's still the exact same show.
I just remember in the first season, there was this woman who like let her dog drink red wine.
Yes. Yep.
I cannot Jessica. Forget that.
Yep.
That was her name.
It was.
That's so funny. I mean, you must be homesick because you're spending some time between London, between New York. Is that why that show kind of stands out to you?
No, I just think it's really good TV. And I feel like I would be one of those people who would fall in love with someone without ever seeing
the idea of them, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you are forming like a genuine connection when all you're doing is talking to them. But, you know, I think that show really does go to show you that sometimes love is not blind.
Exactly. It's actually everything, right, that you would love about someone.
Yeah.
Could you ever see yourself on one of these shows?
I would never actually go on it.
But didn't you do like MTV Singled Out or something like that?
I did a show on MTV. Okay. It was not Singled Out.
I loved Singled Out when I was like 10 years old.
That was a really great show. No, I was a guest judge on MTV's Merch Masters last year.
Very
that was
different.
Hosted by Teffy Pessoa, who is amazing content creator on TikTok. But it was basically like a project runway for kids who make merch for their favorite artists.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
It was a really, really awesome. So they would basically have a design challenge where they're given certain materials and they would just have to create a piece of merch.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
For their favorite band or musician or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very different to Singled Out.
Absolutely.
My mistake, sorry.
Singled Out. I don't think Singled Out has been on since like the early 2000s.
I'm sorry. I'm very nostalgic, as you know. But Chrissy, okay, so you've done so much. I mean, you recently also judged a competition you presented. So who is Chrissy? In your own words, not in my words.
I think my purpose in general is to help people feel okay with vulnerability. I think my mission is to help people, and I do that in a myriad of ways, whether through fashion. I don't think we give fashion enough credit sometimes for how transformative it can be, and also through my writing, and I also do consulting work in the diversity and inclusion space when it comes to fashion and beauty brands, and that is another way I like to try to make the world a little bit of a better place.
Tell us a little bit about all the projects you're working on at the moment. So obviously you've got your social media channels, you've got your newsletter, but yes. I'll let you tell us more.
Yeah, I know. It's never a dull day. I have lots to work on. I have a newsletter called Forward Joy that I launched in January of 2021. It's a bi-monthly newsletter where I write about my journey in mental health, self-discovery, basically like what just the experience of being a human. And I like to share personal stories that I think others could probably relate to, but they might just not talk openly about it, whether it's from being in a toxic work environment or struggling in romantic relationships, living at home with your parents, having a fallout with a friend, being stuck in an, you know, on and off situationship. Like, I've been through it all. And then I also like to interview people who I think just have really interesting stories to share. You know, I've interviewed friends who have struggled with addiction. I've interviewed a friend who's a matchmaker, a professional, like fourth generation matchmaker. Astrologers, tarot readers, kind of a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I've definitely met some of your fans along the way whom, I mean, I would just sort of mention that, oh, I know Chrissy, and they're like, oh my God, I love her. I'm subscribed to the newsletter. And we're having a discussion about investments. It's got nothing to do with fashion.
Right.
Or you know, fashion influencing or like editorial fashion. And they'll be like, I love her newsletter. I'm subscribed to it and I read it right away. So you've got some serious fans like from various industries. And I think that's probably what it is about you, which is you have, you're speaking to everyone's sort of more vulnerable side, as you said, that a lot of us don't want to be open about.
Exactly.
And we're all thinking about it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, especially after being in the fashion space for so long, I think, you know, there's a lot of glitz and glamour in the industry. And a lot of it oftentimes is like smoke and mirrors. And, you know, I always wanted to show people that, yes, even though I have this incredible job and I get to travel all the time and I get gifts and I'm at parties with celebrities, but at the end of the day, I'm still someone who struggles with anxiety. I'm still someone who has problems, and, you know, whether with my family or with friends, and, you know, no one lives a perfect life.
I love that. And I love that you are making it much more honest, because I think a lot of what we see on Instagram, it's like a highlight reel,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, as people like to say.
Yeah, and I like that, you know, you'll be speaking to the camera. That's something that I said I love that you do and I want to get better at. You'll be speaking to the camera, you know, selfie mode, filming videos and just telling people what you're working on. And it's not that you're not glamorous. You have amazing style, obviously, but it's kind of more like, yeah, you've sort of just put yourself out there and we love what we're seeing, and that's no nonsense.
Yeah, and I'm just a big believer in, like, I'm not ever trying to paint like an air of perfection. So yeah, I'm gonna record stuff while I'm at home, even if I have no makeup on or I'm just like in my robe in bed. Like, you know, I want people to see that I'm a real human being and I don't just go on social media when I look perfect.
Was it different before? Do you think people are changing now? Before, it was all about having that perfect shot, you know, that entire OOTD outfit of the day that was head to toe in designer. And now it's like, I don't have any makeup on. I don't really care.
Well, I think there's people who still want to show their lives as this like facade. And not to say that there is something wrong with that, because I don't think everyone needs to be super vulnerable. You know, I think everyone needs to sort of like find what works for them. But yeah, I think, you know, it can be damaging if you're someone who is pretending that your life is always perfect.
No, but I completely agree with you. And I think there's, you know, even for, I guess, the audience that's tuning in, you want to keep it real as to how, I guess, comfortable you are with keeping it real, how much you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who, I don't know, I always get weirded out by people who, like, can't be on social media without a filter, like 24/7. For me, I'm just, I don't know. I could never imagine doing that. And I also think the filters are such a huge reason why people are having like body and face dysmorphia, because when you get so comfortable, like looking at this enhanced version of yourself, of course you're going to have, or like, you're going to feel some type of way when you then go to the mirror and realize, wait, that's not actually what I look like.
There is one filter that I really love.
Yeah.
You know, Snapchat days.
Yes.
When you had that, like, tongue sticking out
Yes,
thing.
The dog one.
That was adorable.
The one that got Meghan Markle noticed by Prince Harry, apparently.
Is that the story?
Yes.
Okay, I did not know about that. I just look really cute with that
one. Yes.
Yeah. And the bunny ears. That was cute, too.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Those are different. Those are fun.
Those are fun. Yes. I was into those ones. Someone bring those back, right?
Yeah. No one's going to, you know, think you're a dog just because.
No, I'd be a bitch, obviously, which I am. Tell us a little bit about your career, because it's obviously evolved. You know, what did you do at Harper's? What is special projects director?
Well, I created that title for myself because I did so many different things. And previous to that, my title was senior fashion editor. And yes, I have always been in the fashion space, but I just felt like it didn't really encompass all that I was doing. Because I worked on the digital side, and like when you work in digital, of course, just like I'm sure you understand running, an app, like you have to wear all different types of hats. You can't just be like, oh, this is my one job and I only do this one thing. So I ran our Instagram account. I also wrote stories. I styled shoots. I went on TV. I did everything. I would go to events. I would host events. I was doing talent booking, just literally everything that kind of made the website run.
And that was probably at a time where things were moving more digital as
yes,
well.
Yes, I mean, for sure.
I don't think I've bought a magazine in very long.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
kind of. Do you think you kind of made the exit at the right time as well?
You know, I always had my heart set on working in print. Even my first digital gig was at InStyle.com, and I kind of ended up there. Almost like out of desperation. Like I was desperate for a job. I knew someone that was working there and they brought me in to be a full-time freelancer for a year. But in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this until I can find a print job. And then the longer I stayed in that job, I was like, actually, you know what? This kind of makes sense. Cause I feel like at that point I was spending like most of my free time on the computer anyway. Like I've always just been like very techie and liked being online. And so I was like, actually, I think this makes sense. But there was part of me that thought maybe I would like miss playing and like touching the clothes. But that dissipated.
And then you ended up doing all of it anyway.
Yeah.
And you ended up at Harper's.
Yeah.
Right? Doing the events and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't styling all the time, but, you know, definitely more writing and the Instagram stuff. But, I got to just, like, do everything, which was really nice. Like, I definitely think my career ended up surpassing what I ever thought was possible.
And did you ever foresee yourself working for yourself?
I think it's easy to see the way things can progress career-wise in the industry. So, you know, as someone who worked at a website, it's like, okay, well, the next step would be to become a site director. But I wasn't really interested in that. Like, I didn't have the dream of, oh, I want to be an editor-in-chief someday. So then you kind of have to think about, well, okay, what else is out there? And I didn't really have a strong idea of what I wanted to do next. I just knew that I was meant to do more than what I was doing there. I think especially towards the end of my time at Bazaar, I felt quite stifled in many ways because, you know, the industry is based on a hierarchy. So even though I'm in a role where, yes, I'm working on a lot, it still sort of felt like, well, this is your place and you can't grow beyond that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I just knew that, okay, eventually, like, I'm going to go out there and do my own thing. I think, especially because of the time we were in and I was starting to grow a following on Instagram, that definitely became, you know, sort of my exit plan was that, okay, well, I'm growing this following and I'm getting opportunities to partner with brands. So yeah, this seems like the right next step for me until I really figure out like what it is that I'm meant to do with my life.
And do you think that your audience on Instagram kind of shaped the things that you wanted to speak about? Like you saw that they were engaging more with, I don't know, you talking about, astrology, for example.
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
How you kind of realized people have this interest like I do.
Yes, absolutely. I think the more I spoke about my mental health journey, I definitely realized that there was there was an audience for it and that people really connected with it. And we're just like responding to it in a really positive way. I had actually written a personal essay for Bazaar in 2014 about my struggle with anxiety since I was a teenager. And that was the first time I'd ever spoken about it publicly. So it very much felt like a, you know, coming out of sorts. And like that, I remember the day the article went live, I was so, so nervous that like people were going to think that I was crazy, you know, just all the things you think about speaking up about, you know, struggling with a mental illness. But in reality, the response was so incredible that it really clicked for me then that, oh, I need to continue speaking about this, because so many people said like, oh my God, I relate to this. Like I've gone through this and this helps me feel less alone. And that I think is what so many people who struggle with mental health issues, you know, that's how they all feel. They feel really alone. And that's how I felt when I was like a teenager and going through that alone. And like my parents didn't understand what was going on with me. My friends didn't understand. And so you don't have anyone to go to except for a therapist. And like when you're a kid, like, yeah, the therapist is there to help you. Great. But
no, I love,
kind of just like, okay.
I mean, I love, because I've been following your newsletter for, I guess, maybe 12 months now. And I think it's very relatable. Like it's something that everyone probably has felt at some point, whether or not
right.
we voice it out, even to the closest people around us.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what makes it something that you can click with. And you can be like, oh, I get Chrissy.
Yeah.
And that's probably what, you know, would make a lot of people want to follow your journey as well.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself maybe doing more video form? Because it's something you're quite comfortable with.
It's crossed my mind. It's just, it involves so much like production wise. So I don't know that that is what I'm willing to like take on at this juncture, but it is something that I've thought about for sure.
Yeah, because maybe, I guess, with your audience as well, since we want to hear it directly from you,
yeah.
maybe there doesn't need to be that much production even.
True.
Because we love seeing the stories.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I
think something lo-fi. That, yeah,
lo-fi, as yeah. we call it. Yeah. So what's next for Chrissy? Is there somewhere that you've kind of decided you want to go?
I would love to turn Forward Joy into a book of essays.
Amazing.
That's definitely a goal of mine. And I'll be working on the second season of my podcast with Maybelline called I'm Fine You. And yeah, we're going to be starting to record that soon.
One of the questions that I was going to ask is, you know, since we all talk about the highlights, what is something you're struggling with? But I guess we know that from the newsletter that yes. we're, the newsletters that we're reading.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to share or talk about that, on that?
What I'm struggling with is not having all my favorite clothes when I'm here in London.
Well,
it's really hard to live between two places.
Actually, we did talk about this a few days ago.
It's really stressful.
This is why we have Chrissy's wardrobe on Buy Rotation in the UK and in the US, which, by the way, you guys can rent.
Yes.
And Chrissy can also rotate when she is in a different country.
Absolutely.
I love what you're wearing at the moment. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a dress and trench set from Meow.
It's super chic. You guys have to tune in to the visual version of this podcast. Can we rent it on Buy Rotation?
Yeah, you absolutely can. I mean, I think this would look great on you.
I have my eyes set on it. I just need to be invited somewhere cool.
Yes.
Or maybe I'll be on the other side of another podcast episode.
You should wear it for hosting.
I love it. I love it. Very, very cool. Tell me a little bit about some of the life lessons that you've learned throughout the decades.
When I first started struggling with anxiety, my parents would always say to me, this too shall pass. And I feel like it's one of those phrases that, like, as a kid, you're just like, okay, like, that's not very helpful right now. But it really is true. Like, it is the truth. Like, when you are struggling and you are going through a really hard time, this too shall pass. And even when you're in a really good place, this too shall pass. Like, that is just part of the human experience. Like, we're all gonna go through ups and downs, and life is gonna ebb and flow. And so it's just something that I think I hold onto really tightly now. And actually, at my parents' house, I have like a little embroidery that says, this too shall pass, from my godmother, that's like in a frame, and it's really cute.
I love that. And I guess, you know, in Hinduism, we have the saying as well that we have different phases in our life where some are really good and some are really bad, and you just have to weather them.
Absolutely. You know, and it makes you stronger. The bad times definitely, like, it gives you some grit. And I think that's also, you know, a big part of why I like sharing the challenges that I've gone through on my newsletter, because it makes me really proud of myself to be able to acknowledge, like, yeah, shit, this was a really, really tough time in my life. You know, from being in a really toxic work environment at one of my first jobs and just feeling so lost as to, like, how I was going to get out, how I was going to make things better. And then, like, now seeing the way that my career, you know, took off and evolved, like, I feel really proud of myself for having gone through that and learning so much, and still coming out on the other side okay. You know, I think sometimes, yeah, when we're going through a hard time, I think it can feel like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think when we're really in it, yeah, it is hard, but you just have to, like, trust and have faith that you're strong enough to weather those tough times.
Yeah, I definitely am with the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Sure does.
All the rejections from investors, from boys, from jobs. I'm like, I know who I am now and who I'm not.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's something we share in common. Yeah. You know, like this journey of self-development and kind of going, like, I still have myself no matter what.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. I love that.
Yes.
So, you know, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about, because it's something that I think about a lot.
Okay.
Who is the real you?
You know, I think even though I see myself as being really authentic on social, I think oftentimes, because I'm alone when I'm creating content, I think it can be more difficult to show, like, a sort of lighthearted side or, like, sillier side. I think I probably come off as often being, like, very calm and sort of serious on social.
Composed.
Sometimes I wonder if, like, people always think, like, I'm super serious, because I'm definitely not. But I'm also, like, I'm okay with that, because, yeah, it's just, it's hard to show all the many sides of you. And also, I don't think I owe everyone every side of me.
Yeah. Some stuff is personal. It's for your close friends. It's for family.
And also, it's like, you just don't really know someone just from watching them online, even if they are authentic, even if they do share a lot. Yeah, I share a lot of myself on the internet, but people still don't really know who I am unless they're around me.
Well, I, having been out with you a few times,
can
guarantee that you're really fun on a night out.
Thank you.
Yeah. And super well-dressed as well.
Yes. I try.
So, speaking a little bit about fashion, what's one fashion faux pas that you'll never forget that you made?
A very random mishap that happened to me was, once I was going to a friend's wedding and I had borrowed a dress from a brand, and it had, like, very thin spaghetti straps, and I was literally walking out the door and one of the straps just popped right off, and I, like, had to leave to get on the train to go to the wedding. And I had a little sewing kit, because I used to be a stylist assistant many moons ago. And so I just, like, grabbed the sewing kit and I, like, sewed the dress on the train.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Everything was fine?
Yes, it didn't.
It sounds beautiful, though, because I love it when they have thin straps.
Yeah, it was a great dress. Yeah. So I was like, hell bent on, I need to wear this dress. Like, I'm sure I had other options to change into, but I was like, no, I really want to wear this dress. It was, like, a really beautiful, like, gold silk dress with, like, a floral pattern. I can't remember who it was, though.
I want to see a photo later.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
It was actually, I also had Zika virus. That was another thing at this wedding. So I was also
quite a few fashion.
I was also very ill and I didn't realize it.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Everyone else might have also been ill after.
No, it's not contagious.
Oh, it's not.
Okay. No, you have to be bit by a mosquito. I had just come back from Jamaica.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Well, it sounds amazing. I want to see the dress later.
Yes, I will show you.
And for my final question, as part of the official questions, if you could be an expert in any subject besides the subjects that you are an expert in at the moment, so no fashion,
right?
No mental health,
yeah.
No astrology.
No mental health?
Yeah, no. You can't speak about that either.
Okay.
What would you choose?
Because that was like the first thing I was going to
say. And why?
Psychology.
No.
Okay, so music, because I love music so much. I think that like earlier in my career, if I hadn't pursued fashion, that I probably would have pursued a career in music.
What would you do in music?
I want to like discover new artists.
I could see you being an agent. I could see you being like a really good
music. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. You do have good music taste, though.
I do.
You remember that song, though? Wait.
Yes, I have a song that we love.
Obviously, you must have amassed quite a bit of fashion over the years.
Oh, yes.
I think it's so great that you're sharing your wardrobe in both the UK and US.
I know.
The fact that you're living between both countries. I mean, we love to say the goal and the vision for Bi-Rotation is, you know, that whole concept of when in Rome, dress like a Roman.
Right.
And that's exactly what we want.
Yes.
You know, so you've got your rotating wardrobe in both countries. Mm-hmm. But I like, why do you feel that you want to open and share your wardrobe with some of your fans?
Well, I think it's just fun to know that like you can follow someone and like their style and then also rent pieces that they're wearing. And also, I'm not gonna act like it's not convenient for me. Like I get to leave some of my favorite pieces behind and know that they're being taken care of and being worn by other people. And then when I come back, I can have them back or, you know,
yeah,
or they stay in rotation.
Yeah, and including that amazing pink dress that you wore on your birthday in Paris. That was quite a number.
That's a really, really special dress. So I hope some people rent it and have a good time in it.
You must. Oh, I mean, like, I love it when people wear my outfits and style them differently.
Right.
And I'm like, I didn't even think of that. And I'm like, you look better than me in my
dress. That's awesome. How dare you?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. It's just kind of nice to see that sisterhood of the traveling dress.
Absolutely.
Chrissy, it was so great to have you on the show.
Thank
you. Know, we've
you.
Been wanting to do this for like, I don't know, like we've been talking about it for 10 months.
Yes. And it's finally come and gone so quickly.
I know. And you'll be in New York very soon. And we're going to be doing something in New York also very soon.
Can't wait.
If anyone wants to find you, where can they find you?
You can find me at Chrissy Ford on Instagram, on TikTok. And
you're on TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I have a TikTok.
Nice.
Follow me there because I have less than 10,000 followers.
Let's make this happen, guys. Yeah, 10K for Chrissy.
Get me to 10K. And Forward Joy, that's FWDJOY.com, is where you can go and read my newsletters and subscribe to get them in your inbox.
I'm a big fan. Please do that. Yes. Thank you again, Chrissy.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
For an exclusive £20 off on your next Bi-Rotation rental, make sure to use the code ONROTATION. This code works for new and existing users for rentals over £30. Happy rotating!